What I'd like to talk about first is, you know, how you got to where you are. You're at Microsoft, but there was life before Microsoft. And students very interested in how people got where they are, their professional path.
My professional path, like most people, I think, in my area, was fairly circuitous. I started working in libraries as an undergraduate student. I've worked at doing document delivery at UC Berkeley's Public Health Science, Public Health Library. Worked at the University of Michigan after my undergraduate career, and really liked the environment of working in academic libraries, working with people who were passionate about the work that they were doing, and sort of that role of helping people in the process of research. And so when I came to the University of Washington for my library program, I really saw myself going into academic libraries. That's where I was going to spend the rest of my life, sort of the chip that I laid down at the time. And after I got my library degree, I did work at the University of Washington libraries for a number of years. I was at the Natural Sciences Library, at the Engineering Library, finished up as a systems librarian at the Suzzillo Library, and just had an opportunity to go to work for Microsoft. And I was able to connect in my mind how this was still librarianship. I was working for the Information Services Group at Microsoft. We were doing the same role, but just for a different audience. And once I got over to Microsoft and did that for a couple of years, all kinds of new opportunities opened up to me. And I think there are opportunities that opened up because of the education in information science allowed me to see problems from a different perspective. So I was able to work for the Office team for a few years, developing some applications. I spent 4 years in the Windows organization doing information retrieval work, building the embedded search in Windows. And only recently, in the past couple of years, I've gone to work for Microsoft Research, coming full circle, working with academic librarians and academic researchers again.
Interesting. I think what I want to start with is your impression, high level. 1,000 feet up of an environment that's changing and placing institutional demands on professionals and that, you know, weren't there before. And so talk to me a little bit about what you consider to be the most significant changes currently shaping professional practice, what people actually do in professional practice, and institutional demands on them as a result. So the changing environment.
The profession really is changing, and it's a greenfield environment, I think, for the profession, because for a long time, you can talk about the stereotypes that go along with librarianship, but a lot of those stereotypes are created from within the profession. We have stereotypes of the sorts of file formats and what is good information, what is bad information, what information is worth keeping around and preserving. But I think that the information explosion that's going on right now is really opening up a tremendous amount of new opportunities, and opportunities for which the profession of librarianship is the key target to take care of. You talk about data sets becoming shareable information objects and things that ought to be preserved and made available to other researchers, just information application development. There's a whole thread of what is the state of the information as it gets fed into one application and it gets passed to another application. So I happen to work for a company that does software development, but most of the design of software development traditionally has been done by development engineers, developers, who think that they have the right answer, but without coming to that problem with the lens of the role of information and how information flows through the system, mistakes are going to get made. And so I see a tremendous amount of opportunities for the field. The institutional demands are such that with dwindling budgets and expanding roles, the necessarily comes down to being able to do more things with less resources available.
Are there significant shifts occurring in the knowledge and skills and practices that effective professionals need as a result of these changes? Is what they need to know changing?
Definitely, the set of skills that I think a qualified librarian should bring to the profession today versus at least what the perception of the qualifications was 2 decades ago, 3 decades ago is vastly different. I tend to view this much more like something like the medical profession, where you definitely need to have some foundational understanding, but you need to be able to go into the profession with a lifelong learning aspect. Technology is always going to be changing under the feet of people coming out of a library program. So learning a specific set of technologies is not the goal. Learning how to learn new technologies and how to adapt is going to be critical.
Great, great. Thank you. Let's talk a little bit about professional expectations and what you look for, what you expect from primarily new professionals coming in, newly minted. So what are the major qualities you look for in a professional first position hire for a new professional? What qualities?
When I'm hiring new people into my field, realize first of all that I work in the software development industry, but I think an analogy in hiring a software developer is a good one here. We don't go out saying, or I don't go out saying, I'm looking for a developer who knows how to develop in this particular language or how to develop certain applications. I'm looking for somebody who is a creative thinker. I'm looking for somebody who is a problem solver. I'm looking for somebody who can take a large amount of information and synthesize it and come up with a way forward with that. And I think this is absolutely true in the library profession as well. Having a toolkit is less valuable than being able to demonstrate that that an individual can solve a set of problems, the individual knows enough about the technology landscape to plot a path through that.
It seems, in working with students for many years though, students have sort of the opposite view of it. They think they need a skill set of tools mastered before they go out and do anything. So in a sense, that sounds kind of counter to what their perceptions are. So what would you say to a student who says, this is how I'm prepping, and this is what I'm thinking?
Yeah.
And when it's targeted primarily into the tool set.
Yeah. There's a little bit of a chicken and egg argument going on here. But if I go back and think about myself as I was going through my graduate degree program, I had a perception of saying, I need to be able to develop expertise in one area. I need to be the person who knows how to do that thing, because that's where I'm going to demonstrate my value to the organization. And through more or less accident, my technical library positions that I had in a number of roles, I was the circulation clerk in one library, I was the operations clerk in another library. I happened to be on a committee that did the migration to the Innovative Interfaces platform, and I knew something about the serials module. And what I found through accident was, through a breadth of experiences, I was able to see across much more of the various roles that took place within the academic library environment. And I think the same thing is true using the software development skill set, which is I've seen a number of students who come in and they get a very narrow focus of not only the software toolkit that they work with, but the types of problems that they're trying to solve with that toolkit. So my recommendation to students would be, learn this, then put it on a mental shelf. Go learn a completely different set of technologies that's solving a completely different problem, because that's going to teach you about a different set of users and a different set of user needs. And the more experiences that you can line up absolutely prepares you for that next experience. And that's true in sort of the day-to-day operational aspects of libraries. It's true in helping patrons solve their information needs. It's true in a number of different fields.
This probably overlaps a little bit with what you just said, but when you look at the star performers, not the new people coming in now, the people who've been there for a while, the star performers in your employ, what characteristics stand out for you? What characteristics are most important?
when I think about the people who've really been successful in what they do and the people who are the star performers, not only in our field but in other fields, it is it's having in-depth knowledge about something, but communication, the ability to listen to somebody, the ability to serve as the conduit between, for example, between end users and developers, and translate the information that comes out of the user's mouth into technical requirements. Now, again, I'm in software development, so I'm going to use the language there, but I think that it's very applicable in the same vein across the profession. And being able to use different language, have different types of dialogues, be able to re-explain information needs that come out of one input channel that need to go into another input channel is absolutely critical. Because too often I see, and this spans back over my 2 decades of working more or less in this community, is that so much time is lost and so much is wasted when people talk past each other, or somebody thinks that they heard one requirement, but they didn't ask the clarifying question. They didn't go the next step to find out really what was the underlying need. And this is where the sort of baseline knowledge becomes important, because you need to know what sorts of questions will really elicit the nugget of knowledge that you need to get out of it.
What positions today, and this sort of harkens back a little bit to the changing landscape. What positions are today the most difficult to find new people that have an understanding sufficient to tackle? And where do you see that going? What are the next difficult ones?
It's difficult for me to sit back and say what are the most difficult positions to fill, because I don't work directly within the academic library community today. So I don't have a real in-depth opinion on what positions are difficult to fill. I do think, and this feeds into this really, I think, a notion of identity of the profession, that we as a profession don't have a good way of representing our skill set out into the broader workforce. Or another way of putting that is, we don't, as a profession, market our skills appropriately, both to new students who are coming into the program and saying, this is the universe of positions that is opened up to you, and therefore, when you're going out and you're talking to prospective employers, when you're putting your resume together, when you're deciding what classes that you want to take and what skills you want to build, they don't have that vision in their mind about how they can build up their skills and then market those skills appropriately to the community. This is part of the identity crisis, because I think if you go and talk to every single one of the incoming students who come through the program, they're going to be giving you very discrete library roles that have been around for a long time. And when I came into the library program, I knew that I wanted to get into the library technology space. And so really, the only thing that was available at the time was this thing called a systems librarian. So all that was a librarian who did technical things. Well, it's a ridiculous notion today, because most of the people have some level of technical expertise. You have everything from people who are hacking together new applications in library space to people who are really doing systems integration work. And I think in a lot of those cases, those don't necessarily need to be librarians. The librarians need to be the people who oversee this process, manage the technological implementation of systems, but they need to understand how the systems work, not necessarily just be a developer who can crank out some code that implements a spec.
This probably again aligns there. So what do you think are the biggest misperceptions? We're constantly trying to align students. This series is part of an attempt to align students with reality. They come in with these perceptions of narrow, and I got to master this little toolkit of stuff in order to be able to accomplish. So it's what if you had to put your finger on one misconception that maybe was there when you were in school, because it's probably still here now, with students. What would you disavow them of? What would you try to convince them to forget about that?
I think the biggest misconception is that you go to library school, you go to an information school program to become a librarian. That is the notion of a librarian is descriptive in and of itself, and that's what it is that you do. And I used medical school metaphor earlier. I think a business school metaphor is equally applicable here, which is people use the degree MBA not to say I am an MBA, but it's a proxy for a set of skills that was learned as a part of the program. And that's a very different thing to say I'm a librarian, because a librarian, in I think even in the people's minds who use the term, but also in the minds of prospective students and people who hear the term, say, great, I have an image of what you do now. You work in a library, you sit behind a desk, you talk to people. And what I'd like to disavow students of is that, not that those are not important parts of what our career is, but I'd like students to realize that there are thousands of other positions that those skills are equally, if not more, applicable to.
Great. So a student comes out that has perhaps focused the way you think they should. Now they arrive. How much of what you expect of them will be born from what they learn on the job, as opposed to what you expect them to come out? So what toolkit do you expect them to have? What tools do you expect them to have in their arsenal? And what do you think it's more appropriate for the profession to provide a young professional through practice?
It's interesting to think about what tools did I have when I came out of the library school and how much was on the job. And I had the unique perspective of I happened to be working for the library system while I was in school. And so it's difficult for me to tease apart how much of it was the classroom learning and the project work that I did versus my job as a paraprofessional library technician at the time. I believe that most of what I have acquired about the profession has been learned on the job, which gets back to the question of, it's a very difficult process to interview people for an abstract set of concepts like problem solving and communication is definitely one that comes out and is easy to interview for, but you also want to make sure that that's backed up by a set of foundational knowledge. And so I think it is important at any point in time to come out of a library program understanding what the history of the profession is, what the current issues in the profession are, what the next 3 to 5 years are likely to bring about, and an understanding of the technologies that are being brought to bear on it. And this challenge necessarily then trickles up to the faculty. So, the faculty will constantly need to be kept up to date on not what was learned when they went through the library program, but what is the current state of the art? What is the current state of technology research in information retrieval, and how is that being applied in the real world? What is the current state of information management systems, and what are the likely trends going to be in 3 to 5 years? And so with that backing knowledge, I think it enables students to come out and at least hit the ground running, understanding the problems, understanding the terminologies, understanding how the problems have been addressed in the past, and at least be able to look at ways that new solutions could be created.
Alex, you talked about today's technology will go on tomorrow and there'll be another one in its place, and this is an ongoing process. What expectations? That isn't talking about just another professional quality. What expectations do you have or would you expect to find in a professional employee in terms of their own ongoing continuing education?
Wow, I would love to have the time to to actually do some ongoing continuing education as a part of my job. My job is itself continuing education. This is an area where I actually think that the technology is rising up to meet those needs, because I think necessarily as a profession today, we need to be networking with our peers. We need to be learning not only at conferences, but through social media, how people are solving the same problems around the world, and how we can replicate some of the same solutions locally. So I think that this is probably going to differ greatly depending on the type of work that any individual librarian is doing. But my focus is in the technology space, and so it's really, this gets back to one of the things that I've said many times, which is really having a cursory understanding of the landscape of technologies and solutions, so you're not spending your time going off and recreating the same solution that somebody's already done, but also enough intellectual horsepower that you can sort through them and determine which is the right solution for a given problem. So in my profession, it sort of necessarily takes care of itself. If you're going to be developing applications for scientific researchers, which I do on a daily basis, it's not only understanding the needs of that particular scientific domain, but it's also understanding really the state of the art and technologies that can be brought to bear on that solution.
That seems to imply then that the professional has a self-motivating, a responsibility to be self-motivating in keeping up, as opposed to necessarily formal structured programs that they have to go into, that it is part of the ethos, part of the, that they don't come out with their toolkit complete, that will carry them to the grave.
Yeah. I think it's definitely true that the kinds of students that I would like to see coming through the program absolutely would be self-motivating and absolutely would come to it saying, I'm not using an MLIS degree to get a job because that thing is the thing that I want to do. I want to use this as a toolkit, as a jumping board for lifelong learning. And this is why I've said that our field has a tremendous amount of opportunities. We're going to see new jobs opening up that our graduates ought to be absolutely the right candidates for. And so I think necessarily to have people open themselves up to, I could have any job in the world when I come out of this program, means I'm going to have to be able to mix and match those skills. I'm going to have to learn new things along the way. Maybe I do need to go back, though, and round out my education with things that I didn't necessarily know that I needed to know coming into it. And at the same time, I think that continuing education serves a purpose because you can, if you are in a relatively siloed type of position that only exposes you to a number of different aspects of the job, the only way that you can develop that expansive experience is by getting out of your element, learning new things that aren't part of your day-to-day responsibilities, and internalizing those. So I think there's a great deal that can be done, both self-motivating but also opportunistically, to bring the current generation of recent graduates sort of up to speed and along and developing over time.
Well, Alex, let's close with some advice for the students. And this can take the form of, if I had to do it again, I would have thought about doing X that I didn't think I would enjoy or do. Or in any form at all, what kind of advice in terms of what they're doing now, if they've got some time left in their program, what things should they be trying to encounter while they're here? And what advice?
Well, I think if I had to give advice to a student coming through the program today, it really would be to get a diversity of experiences. I know that when I came through the MLIS program, you almost had to the way that the tracks of courses were laid out, you had to come into it beyond the first year foundational classes. You had to then say, great, I'm going into public librarianship, I'm going into academic librarianship, therefore I need to take these tracks. And I was in a technology track, so there were like maybe two other courses. And I would think about it from a student's perspective differently, which is, even if I know where I want to go, I'm going to be better served by having a breadth of experiences across the entire curriculum. And they ought to be self-reinforcing. We ought to really know what the profession does as a whole. To use medical school analogies, you go through not just a single year of basic anatomy, but it's sort of an ongoing aspect of the medical school curriculum, and there's foundational things that go into that as well. So, not specializing too soon, it would really be the key learning, and getting a breadth of experiences both inside the class, across the types of projects that you work on, the people that you do projects with, being able to work with different personality types is a critical skill in the workforce today. So.
Well, thank you very much. It's very, very interesting stuff.
Thank you.